Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ongoing and serious deficits in Ireland's child and adolescent mental health services. Lost cases and burnt out and frustrated staff. Dirty and shabby centres. Disrespect for patients' dignity. Children with mental health difficulties effectively forgotten by the HSE. Just some of the findings of this week's independent report into the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services by Dr. Susan Finnerty, Inspector of Mental Health Services. Joining me now from our Waterford studio is Mary Butler, Minister of State at the Department of Health with Special Responsibility for Mental Health and Older People. Good morning to you, Minister, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. Was this report as you expected or worse?
Good morning, Philip. Following on from the Maskew report, which we all know was as a result of the deficit of care that was provided in Kerry to over 240 children, I asked the HSE for a national audit of CAMHS prescribing practices, which was extended to include an audit of compliance and a service user's experience, how children and their families got on using CAMHS. I also asked the Mental Health Commission to expand the scope of Dr. Finnerty's review to include the various things that I have just referred to, and I also offer to fund it if required. We received an interim report from Dr. Finnerty 4 or 5 months ago, which raised huge and genuine concerns for me. And I suppose there was nothing new I found in the final report that we hadn't already learned about in the earlier report. My main concerns and my real concerns, I suppose, are around governance, lack of in many areas, the fact that we don't have a standardised service, and the lacking of clinical leadership, which is really, really profound. But what we have, Philip, for the first time ever, I have in-depth reports from the Mental Health Commission. I also have them coming from the HSE. And it was essential that these reports were as wide-ranging as possible. We never had this information before. I knew from listening on the ground, from meeting teams, CAMHS teams, from meeting families, from meeting staff, that there was genuine concerns in relation to CAMHS, notwithstanding the very long waiting list that
it's
we have.
It's just not true, though, is it, Minister, to say that you never had this information before? The Children's Rights Alliance had done not one but two reports in this area, highlighting an awful lot of what Dr. Finnerty highlighted, and made it available to you while you have, the 3 years that you have held this portfolio.
We never had the information where all 75 CAMHS teams in the country cooperated with an audit and a review from the HSE and the Mental Health Commission. We never had the information in relation to standard operation procedures, whether they were being followed. I never had the information to hand in relation to the makeup of each individual CAMHS teams, because 8 out of the 9 CHOs, the community health organisations, work off a paper basis.
I know.
So that information can be put together.
Okay, but Minister, Minister, I have to interrupt you from your text here. I'm sorry. You might not have had that detailed level of information, but you did have that information. You had signposts to it to know the extent of the problem that was going on, and you did nothing about it.
I don't accept I did nothing about it. I was the first minister ever to instigate these comprehensive reports. And I do think it's important to say, because the main risk that I was concerned about, notwithstanding the waiting list that we had a year and a half ago, was in relation to what we saw as a result of the Maskew report, the overprescribing of young people. And I was reassured by the Mental Health Commission's report this week that the issues around prescribing practices identified in the Maskew report has not been identified in other parts of the country. And also the HSE have released the findings from their national audit this morning at 10 o'clock this morning. And their audit also did not find evidence of systemic overprescribing. And I am conscious.
No, Philip,
I need to make this point. I am conscious, as I sit here today and speak to you, and thank you for the time, that there are children and parents in waiting rooms for CAMHS appointments this morning, the length and breadth of the country. And one of the main issues raised, notwithstanding the myriad of other issues, which I will address in a minute, One of the main issues raised, the potential that children were being overprescribed and significant harm could have been caused to them. And I do believe we have to welcome the fact that systemic overprescribing has not been discovered across either the Mental Health Commission or the HSE's
audit. It might suit you to hone in exclusively on the overprescription, but I'm really curious to know, how is it in your 3 years in this portfolio that you could not be aware, if you were talking to staff, if you were talking to patients, if you were actually visiting these facilities, that the staff are burnt out and exhausted, that the facilities are, as Dr. Finity reported, dirty and shabby? Did you not see this for yourself? Did you not hear this for yourself?
So not all facilities are dirty and shabby, and there's absolutely no excuse for facilities to be dirty and shabby. And that comes back to each individual community healthcare organisation. You shouldn't have any child going into facilities that are dirty and shabby. We have moved quite a lot.
How
of our
is it that
teams.
You didn't see these things?
Well, I suppose during COVID, I wasn't in a position to visit many of the facilities for the first 2 years. But I have visited quite a lot of facilities since the COVID restrictions were lifted. And what we have seen at the moment is we've seen quite a lot of CAMHS teams moving into primary care centres all over the country, and we will do more. The other piece that I have done is that I increased the budget in the last 3 years. You asked me, what have I done in relation to mental health? I have increased the budget by 220 million by 20%, which was badly needed. And also I have increased the amount of people working in CAMHS 50 by 50 whole-time equivalents. But one point I also, and this is not an excuse, but I do think it's important that people realise that the amount of referrals into CAMHS in the last 2 years have increased by 33%. And as a result, we have seen the waiting list doubling in the last 3 years. And the teams working in CAMHS last year saw 21% more referrals and issued 225,000 appointments. Now, I'm not taken about from the very genuine concerns that Dr. Finity, and I want to thank her for her work, in relation to governance, risk management. Access to CAMHS is a huge issue, because what we're not seeing, equality of service across the 9 community health organisations, as low as 40% in some areas, as high as 80% in other areas, which is a grave concern for many, many families.
Again, I have to come back to the question of how it is that all of this can be a surprise to you. RT Radio 1's Barry Lenehan has been reporting for quite some time now, talking to parents of children who have said repeatedly that they just cannot get access to services unless they are in an absolute emergency and crisis situation. Listeners to Radio 1 have been hearing that for well over 18 months at this stage. How come you're not?
Philip, you're misquoting me. I never said I was surprised at any report. I've never said that.
Well, if you're not surprised, then you were content to sit there and not do enough.
No, I absolutely was not content to sit there. So what I have done this year is I've put in place a national clinical lead for mental health, Dr. Amanda Burke, an executive clinical director with 30 years experience in CAMHS. That was never in place previously. I have also secured an assistant national lead taking up post in September. And we will have we have established a new national office for child and youth mental health within the HSE. These are all things that are new. OK, that's the first point. The second point is, you speak there about children not being able to access CAMHS. And I have spoken about that postcode lottery. But also, to be fair to the teams working on the ground, there are 21,000 children accessing CAMHS at the moment. You have to have a primary diagnosis of mental health to access a CAMHS team, and maybe a secondary diagnosis of autism. But I will go back to the point again that there are very many genuine concerns raised by Dr. Finity in her report that we will address, but we actually started to address them immediately after the interim report was put in place.
All right, we'll leave that as something of an open or still unanswered or unresolved question. Let's move on to what it is that you are going to do as part of the bigger picture resolution. We heard yesterday Dr. Matt Sadler making the suggestion that maybe what needs to be applied here is a situation somewhat like that that was applied to cancer care services. You can't retain and recruit in all the parts of the country that you need these services, so it's time to retrench and bring things a little bit back to the centre. Is that a plan or not?
It is a possible plan. So what I've held in the last 2 months is I held a whole round a series of roundtable meetings with all the stakeholders across the HSE, the Department of Health, the College of Psychiatry. I also met with all of the stakeholders that provide supports for us, the likes of the NGOs, the likes of Bodywise that support people with eating disorders, the likes of Jigsaw, the likes of My Mind, for example. We have a text line 50808.
Okay, we know what stakeholders means, Minister. I understand,
but I just wanted to give you a comprehensive overview. One of the most important parts of the stakeholder engagement was engaging with the likes of NEPs, who support children in schools, engaging with primary care services, and engaging with disability services. Because what I'm hearing from parents the whole time is that the nature of these services are siloed, and if your child has complex care needs, it's very difficult to access the supports across. So
that is an answer to a question, but not the one I asked you.
Okay, so we have 75 CAMHS teams in place now, and we are looking currently at the moment. So we've 818 staff, 80 consultant psychiatrists working across 75 teams. So we are currently looking at the situation to see, would we be better off having less teams, better staffed, and asking parents to travel that little bit longer, making sure they would have the supports they need when they get there, due to the facts that we do have issues in relation to staffing the full teams.
Has an answer to that question emerged?
No, we're currently looking at that at the moment. We are doing a comprehensive piece of work engaging with, as I said, the stakeholders and also with the HSE in relation to that. Because, you know, you will know, Philip, from your own work, for example, that, you know, the HSE did... in relation to disability services, they put in huge changes, and there was a lot of unintended consequences. We want to make sure we get this right.
What is your own instinct, though? Because if the current model is so badly broken and so obviously not working, and if you can't recruit, and money does not seem to be the issue, it's just a case of people not wanting to move to the regions, then there really is only one option for you, isn't there?
My main instinct is initially that when you have a parent who brings a young child to their doctor or GP and they need access to some type of support, my main instinct is there should be a central referral across all the 9 CHOs. So when that child is referred, regardless of which support they need, there's a doorway for them, a pathway for them. That's not the case at the moment, and the waiting lists are too long. That's the first point. The second point is we have seen, for example, I have put in place new eating disorder teams, new ADHD teams, new teams for children with intellectual disabilities and mental health issues as well. These are selective teams, one team per each CHO, but they are working very, very well when they are put in place. Philip, it takes about 18 months to put a multidisciplinary team in place, such is the way that hiring goes at the moment, trying to get the right people into the team. But I do believe myself going forward, the current setup of CAMHS with 75 teams not fully staffed is not working.
It's not working. Okay. Can you explain to me, how is it that in 2023, when we can create an app to monitor the COVID status of pretty much the entire population in the space of a few weeks, that you still have paper records as the only way of administering cases and files within child and adolescent mental health?
It beggars belief that is the situation. We have one CHO at the moment that works from an IT system, and it is the best performing CHO in relation to CAMHS that we have.
Again, that's something that you've known about since 2020.
We have known about it since 2020, and we have been working to do it. But can I also say, Philip, like, I've been working across the same areas in relation to...
I just want to say one point. Answer that question before you move on to something else.
I absolutely will, but the point I was just going to make, I have the exact same situation in relation to my brief as Minister for Older People, where we don't have an IT system, in relation to home care. So it's a situation that... is being addressed by the HSE. I cannot understand. I cannot understand why it hasn't been addressed sooner. It beggars belief, and it is one of the key recommendations in Dr. Finnerty's report. I've met with the HSE this week. They are progressing an interim solution, and we need that as soon as possible.
Minister, I don't understand how you cannot understand. You're the minister. You can bring people in, bang heads together and say, get me answers.
Yes, and that's what we have been doing, and that's what I have been doing in relation to an IT system. We fall down in relation to IT across many areas in the HSE. You saw last year, for example, when, you know, we saw what happened in the Department of Health, for example, when we had that IT situation where all our systems went down. You know, so we are far behind in relation to IT.
Okay.
I don't have... I just cannot believe it myself that that is the situation. I visit CAMS teams, and
Minister,
the first thing you see behind the counter are the myriads of files, the paper files.
Minister, will you and I be having exactly the same conversation a year from now?
No. We won't have be having the exact conversation a year from now. Because as I've said, I've already put in a national clinical lead because we didn't have that oversight. We now have a national lead and a youth mental health office with five people working there, 4.5 posts in place. And we have to make these relevant changes. In about two or 3 weeks' time...
A job title like that sounds impressive. Does that person have executive function?
That person will have executive function and will be answerable to the new CEO, Bernard Gloucester.
And do they have resource? Do they have authority to actually make changes?
They absolutely do, and they will work in collaboration with the department, and they will work in collaboration with the stakeholders as well, which is really, really important. But the time has come that we have change. All parents want, all children want, is a pathway to the care that they need. And that's what we have to provide with the extensive reports that have been provided to me now.
Minister Mary Butler, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Philip.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.